Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. There was a little problem with the recording this morning. Completely on me, my hands in the air, being honest here. I forgot to click one little button on the screen and I had an issue capturing the first couple of minutes of the podcast. You didn't miss anything, just a little commentary about how the Wicked Witch of the West, Hillary Rodham Clinton, has come up out of her gopher hole and made comments about the Mueller report and the legalities surrounding it, which I thought was really ironic, because you just have to remember that during the Starr investigation of her husband, they used the word guilty 11 times, talking about what he had done and his obstruction of justice and the like. 11 times, but not once in the Mueller investigation. Not once. At any rate, that was what that was all about. And then we shifted gears and moved forward to talk about what you're about to hear here. So now let's join the actual recording of today's Facebook Live broadcast for the podcast for today. Here we go. Those of you who are joining us on the podcast version of the show, you're time shifting, you've got those DeLoreans with all that extra equipment that Doc Brown put on them, and you're sometime in the future listening to the podcast. Congratulations. Please share the technology with the rest of us, because there's some things we'd like to correct. Thank you for being there. Glad you're along. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Well, I say looking out the studio windows, we may get some rain here today. And wouldn't that be just about right? Because I actually have a lot of stuff out and about to do today that is not studio work. I have things to do out in the real world. And of course, it's looking kind of dreary out there. Nice. Well, such is life, I guess. I want to, before we go any further, I want to touch back on something I talked about the other day. And that is Bernie Sanders and his statement that he believes even convicted felons still in prison should have the right to vote. This, sadly, is not a unique perspective among the political left. You see, Bernie was asked and then fervently, passionately stated that he believed that it's a basic civil right and they should have that right even if they're in prison. These are people, and the scenario was laid out by the question. Even someone like the Boston Marathon bomber, someone who with malice of forethought found the plans and built a device solely for the purpose of killing and injuring as many people as possible. Someone like that, someone who is that evil, should have the right to vote. This is the judgment of one presidential candidate named Bernie Sanders. And as I said the other day, and some differ with me on this, but as I said the other day, I believe that if you commit a felony, that if you with forethought commit crime, a federal crime, and a jury of your peers finds you guilty of that crime, then part of the sentence, part of what you must suffer for committing this crime and being judged guilty by a jury of your peers, part of that should be that you forever lose the right to participate in the political process. From that moment forward, for the rest of your life, you should not have access to the polling booth. Because granting you access to the polling booth grants you access to the process through which laws are crafted. You should have no part in the process. If you show such callous disregard for the law and for the impact of your actions upon other people, that you are judged guilty by a jury of your peers, and you will serve time in prison, whether it's a day, a week, or 50 years. From that point forward, you have negated your right to participate in the process with your fellow Americans. That is my opinion. I am not alone in this opinion. Some differ, and we'll look into that in a few minutes, but I am not alone in this. I would say so even if I were, because that's how I see it. Because here comes that word I use, honest people who are honest with themselves understand that if they transgress the laws of our land and their peers sentence them for doing so with, because it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they did so with intent, they knew what they were doing, and they did it anyway, that they should, from that point forward, not be allowed to participate in the process of shaping the future of our country. Anyone with judgment that flawed, that demented, that broken should not be allowed to participate in the process. And that is how I see it. I also firmly believe that any politician, when asked the question, as Bernie Sanders was asked, if they say, yes, these people should be allowed to vote, they should be stricken from consideration. They should no longer be considered a viable candidate. Now, sure, they can satisfy the legal requirements, they can run for the office, but right-thinking, rational, sane Americans should not consider those people a viable candidate for the presidency, because that person is obviously considering something besides the good of the nation. Now, Bernie is not alone in this. There are others. For example, California Senator Kamala Harris. She was asked about this, and she said, that's a conversation we need to have, basically. And my response when she said that was, what? She's changed her tune about letting convicted terrorists vote, and it took her less than 24 hours. She was asked the question during a CNN town hall Monday night. Don Lemon, the weepy idiot, asked Harris if she supported comments made earlier in the night by Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders, who said that convicted terrorists, including the Boston Marathon bomber, should be allowed to vote in U.S. elections while in prison. Quote, another issue I want to talk to you about. This is really important. I'm not sure if you were watching earlier, but Senator Bernie Sanders said that he is in favor of felons being able to vote while serving in prison. This is Don Lemon. He was asked specifically about people like the Boston Marathon bomber, also people who are convicted of sexual assault. And he said, this is a quote, the right to vote is inherent to our democracy. Yes, even for terrible people. Do you agree with that, Senator? Her response? I agree that the right to vote is one of the very important components of citizenship, and it is something that people should not be stripped of needlessly, which is why I have been a long advocate of making sure that the formerly incarcerated are not denied a right to vote, which is the case in so many states in our country. In some states, permanently deprived of the right to vote. But people who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote? This was Lemon's response. Kamala Harris said, I think we should have that conversation. Less than 24 hours later, Kamala Harris appeared to have changed her tune, telling a group of reporters, quote, do I think that people who commit murder, people who are terrorists, should be deprived of their rights? Yeah, I do. So less than 24 hours after she said, this is a conversation, I think we should have that conversation. her people got her in a locked room and said, "What are you, nuts?" Because they realized that the vast majority of American people, thinking in the context of the Boston Marathon bomber being able to cast a vote in an election, and her being in favor of that, would do exactly what I've done. And that is tossing her candidacy in the round file. She is no longer in consideration in any way, shape, or form. I didn't think she was to begin with, but she sealed that one up nice and neatly, didn't she? Now, here's the thing. When a politician says, that's a conversation, I think we need to have that conversation. We should be talking about this. What they're saying is, I need some time to see what my advantage is in this particular situation. How can I gain advantage politically from this topic? That's what they're saying. They will not commit to an answer because they haven't figured out how any answer will benefit them at that point. And yes, that is low. Yes, that is slimy. Yes, that is wrong. And yes, that is the political left. Because as I've said time and time and time and time again, these people are not there to serve you. They are not running for office to serve this nation. These people, like Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton before them, are running for office to be rulers. These people are not servants of the people because they believe they are intellectually and morally superior to the people, and they deserve to be in office to direct the course of the nation for the benefit of the people, because the people are too stupid to know how to do it themselves. So Kamala Harris was undecided when she was first asked because she wasn't sure which way the wind was blowing. Her people stuck fingers in the wind and had a little chat with her about it. And now she's decided. And that is how slimy DC politics actually is. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. Pardon me while I sip a little juice of life. Caffeine. My. It is good to have you along today. Thanks for joining the fun. I appreciate you being there. And I'm serious. I'm serious. Kamala Harris has no business considering herself for the presidency. Bernie Sanders has no business considering himself for the presidency. Because these people would allow psychotic killers to vote in our elections. Psychotic killers. People who've maimed, killed, raped, abused. They would allow these people to vote. How dare you think of taking their rights away from them? I'm not. They took their rights away from themselves. They took their rights away from themselves. They did it. A jury of their peers decided their fate. And so, there you have it. Now, there are people whose brains I don't think are firing on all synapses, people who see themselves as wiser than the rest of us, for whatever reason, who disagree. And I think that also includes the big three networks, because they just ignored what Bernie had to say. But it became a topic of discussion on daytime television. The ladies of The View, as I like to call them, the View Shrews, didn't ignore what happened. They brought up the topic on the show yesterday. Bernie's comments caused a fierce debate between co-hosts Meghan McCain and Whoopi Goldberg, leaving McCain horrified by her co-host's defense of Bernie Sanders' shocking comments. And this is what that sounded like.
Does anyone here think a terrorist should have the right to vote?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. If they let this terrorist out because he served his time, he gets his, if he's an American citizen, as every, why is your mouth open
because
like that?
Because Whoopi, he killed people.
Yes, lots of people do this.
He's a radicalized terrorist.
Our Constitution says if you've done your time, you have, we hope, been reformed, you've been changed, you've been grown. If they let him out, that means they feel his time is up and he gets to become the American citizen.
He should
again.
Never be let out. He's a radicalized terrorist.
Well, but you asked me about the book. He's probably never going to get out. But I'm saying,
question. Does anybody at this table think anyone who's committed an act of terror that killed 3 Americans and injured 264 should have the right to vote? Anybody at this
I
table
don't
think
know.
Yes?
Well, no, that's not the way to ask that question. No. Because this is two different conversations.
It's not to me.
I get that. But it is to me. And let me remind you why. If you've done your time, that's what prison reform is about. Yeah. If they let this man out, they are saying he has been reformed. Fixed him. He's been
rehabilitated.
We have rehabilitated him.
He's met his debt to
my God.
Society.
That's what.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any of you.
That's
and
okay,
I understand
but
this is the view.
But we are talking about if he were to be let out.
If he should never be let out.
That's not the conversation.
If he were,
no. That's not what you
asked. No, because I said low-level crimes. I said low-level crimes like Alice Marie Johnson.
But then you said, who here thinks that this should happen if he gets out?
I'm sorry. 11% rise in terror. I mean, we talk about the rise in terrorism and violent crimes in this country all the time. And the idea, I'm telling you that I am open to women like Alice Marie Johnson, who I think we all can agree, put into prison for too long. When you are talking about terrorists.
You're missing the point.
I'm not
hold on.
The point.
Yes, you're missing the point because when you keep saying if they let him out. Well, yes, if they let him out, he gets those rights back. That's what we're talking about.
I don't agree that.
Now, Whoopi Goldberg is having this conversation with Meghan McCain. And I don't have a lot of respect for Whoopi. She's talented in her field. As a comic, she was very funny in her day. As an actor, she's done some pretty respectable things. But when it comes to the issues of life and politics in the United States, she just needs to stick to what she does well, which is making people laugh. That's the old shut up and sing theory, which I subscribe to. Now, she says some things which are just, I got to be honest with you, they're just a little nuts. And I want to go back through this. We've got a few minutes here, so I want to go back through this. It's just a couple of minutes long, so I'm going to do the stop-start thing and stop and comment as she goes because she's nuts. And here we go.
Does anyone here think a terrorist should have the right to vote?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. If they let this terrorist out because he served his time.
Now, she uses that phrase more than once. Served his time. Keep that in mind.
He gets his, if he's an American citizen, as every, why is your mouth open
because
like that?
He killed people.
Yes, lots of people do this.
He's a radicalized terrorist.
Our Constitution says if you've done your time.
Does the Constitution say that? I have to plead ignorance because I honestly don't know. Our laws, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the Constitution, but if you've served your time, then you get your rights back. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
You have, we hope, been reformed, you've been changed, you've been grown. If they let him out, that means they feel his time is up and he gets to become the American citizen.
He should
again.
Never be let out. He's a radicalized
well,
terrorist.
Well, but you asked me about the book. He's probably never going to
okay,
get out.
It is
but
super
I'm
simple
saying.
Question. Does anybody at this table think anyone who's committed an act of terror that killed 3 Americans and injured 264 should have the right to vote? Anybody at this
I
table
don't
think
know.
Yes?
Well, no, that's not the way to ask that question. No.
That's actually the only way you can ask that question if you're sane.
Because this is two different conversations.
It's not to me.
I get that, but it is to me, and let me remind you why. If you've done your time, yeah. That's what prison reform is about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they let this man out, mm-hmm. they are saying he has been reformed.
Yeah.
We have fixed him. He's been
rehabilitated.
We have rehabilitated him.
No, that is actually not what they're saying. What they're saying is that legally speaking, we can't keep him in prison any longer. That's what they're saying. You see, they call this a rehabilitation system. They assign it a value it has no potential to have, which is a reform system, prison. They are reforming people. Yes, some people come out of prison and they have been honest with themselves and they respect the damage that they have done and they truly are remorseful and they have changed their lives accordingly. But, by and large, that's not the case. The rate of recidivism, you need to look that up yourself, tells us that some people never learn. In fact, in some communities, prison time is a badge of honor. The man has put his boot on your neck, and you're still kicking in spite of it. And people think that's cool. So no, this is not what they're saying, Whoopi. They're not saying this person is fixed. They're saying we can't legally hold this piece of slime any longer, so we have to let him go. That's what they're saying.
At his debt
oh
to
my
society.
God.
That's what.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful
what,
to any of you,
that's
and I understand
okay, but
this is the view.
But we are talking about. If he were to be let out.
If he should never be let out.
That's not the conversation.
If he were, no.
That's not what you asked.
I said low-level crimes. I said low-level crimes like Alice Marie Johnson.
But then you said, who here thinks that this should happen if he gets out?
I'm sorry. 11% rise in terror. I mean, we talk about the rise in terrorism and violent crimes in this country all the time. And the idea, I'm telling you that I am open to women like Alice Marie Johnson, who I think we all can agree,
yes.
put into prison for too long. When you are talking about terrorists.
How about
the idea
you're missing the point.
I'm not
hold on.
The
yes,
point.
You're missing yeah. the point because when you talk, you keep saying if they let him out. Well, yes, if they let him out, he gets
okay.
those rights
and
back.
You can
that's
see Whoopi
about.
Is being extremely legalistic. If they let him out, and in her eyes, and in the eyes of most progressives, if the prison system lets them out, then they've done their time. They've paid their debt to society. Then they need to be, you need to treat them like there's nothing wrong. They've not done anything wrong. It's all wiped clean. Okay. Fine. But in this sense, this is someone who premeditatedly built a device with the intent of maiming and killing as many people as possible. And they did it because they are waging war on the American way of life. Their religion commands them to conquer those who will not conform to it. And so, they craft a device to kill and maim as many infidels as possible. Those people, there is a chance they can be miraculously turned around, yes. But like I said before, the prison system is not saying these people are fixed. The prison system is saying we have to let them go because we can't keep them in here and protect you from them any longer. That's what the prison system is saying. And people like Whoopi Goldberg and the rest, they don't want to think about the reality. They just want to shrug this off and say, yeah, well, they did their thing. They've done their time. Got to let them go. Thanks for being there this morning on the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along. And thanks to those of you who have joined up as part of the newsletter family as well. Yep, the daily newsletter comes out every day right after the show, and it contains the notes, the links to the stories that we talk about each day during the podcast, and the rest of the stack I don't have a chance to get to. There are stories which there's just not enough time to get to during the hour that we spend together, but I pile up a bunch of stuff as much as I can get my hands on, and then we just sort through it and hit what I think is the stuff that I feel like is most important to talk about. But the rest of it is still in the stack, and you get to see that as well if you sign up for the newsletter. So do that today. Go to markcongleton.com. Go to the right column. Put in your name and your email address. Answer yes to the email you'll receive right after that, and you'll be getting the newsletter before you know it. In fact, if you do it during the live show, you'll get today's newsletter. If you wait until afterwards, it's going to be tomorrow. So do that right now. Go to markcongleton.com and get signed up and get today's newsletter. All right. I don't want to seem like I'm beating a dead horse here, because it's not a dead horse. It's just not. This thought, this idea that allowing convicted felons in prison to vote is rational, reasonable, and sane is something that has to be exposed, because it is anything but rational, reasonable, and sane. We're talking about people who have killed other people, who have raped other people, who have, with malice aforethought, premeditatedly built devices of mass destruction and harmed as many people as possible, intentionally. Not accidentally, intentionally. We're talking about allowing them to participate in the process of our republic. Now, Bernie Sanders, God love him, this plan that he endorses would allow a lot of people access to polling, access to voting. A lot. It would allow 183,000 convicted murderers to vote. 183,000. 164,000 convicted rapists would be allowed to vote from prison. Let's go back over that one more time. He said, "So I believe people who commit crimes, they pay the price and they get out of jail. They certainly should have the right to vote. But I believe even if they are in jail, they're paying the price to society. But that should not take away their inherent American right to participate in our democracy." He actually says that if they're in jail, in the process, legalistically speaking, of paying their price to society, that they should have the right to participate in our, what's the word he used? Democracy. Senator Sanders, you need to go back to school, because the United States of America is not a democracy. It is a representative republic with a constitution. It is not a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. Democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for lunch. We live in a representative republic, protected from the tyranny of democracy, the tyranny of the mob, which is what you want. And that's just another little piece of evidence of how demented you actually are. And remember, Senator Kamala Harris, she's also said she thinks we should have that conversation. And then less than 24 hours later, after her peeps locked her in a room and explain to her just how insane that is, she's changed her tune. And that's something you need to keep in mind as well. Like I said before, if she had to think about it, if she had to have that conversation, it meant she hadn't found a way to work it to her advantage yet. And her advantage was explained to her very quickly. And in less than 24 hours, she stepped up and said, nah, they shouldn't. The latest data compiled by the Prison Policy Institute concludes that there are more than 1.6 million convicted criminals in local, state, and federal prisons across the country. This includes about 183,000 convicted murderers and 164,000 convicted rapists. Not all 1.6 million convicted criminals in local, state, and federal custody are American citizens, though. State and local prisons have yet to collect data deciphering between the citizen versus non-citizen population of their prison populations. You know what? I would just almost bet that there's some sort of law preventing them from differentiating between the two, because that's discrimination of some kind. Federal data concludes that non-citizens make up about 25% of the federal prison population. Should this be true of local and state prisons as well, that would mean about 1.2 million convicted criminals in prison today could be eligible to vote from their cells under Sanders' plan. 1.2 million convicted criminals. That's enough to sway an election. Including anywhere between 137 and 183,000 convicted murderers, potentially between 123 and 164,000 convicted rapists. Similarly, the Sanders plan would potentially allow anywhere between 14,250 and 19,000 citizens convicted of manslaughter to vote from their cells, as well as up to 154,000 convicted assailants. There are organizations which are working to restore the voting rights of about 1.4 million felons in Florida after the state approved the measure last year. These organizations are funded by billionaire George Soros. Add that to the other information you have, and it becomes even more obvious why this is a plan. Because it will destabilize our voting process. It will sway the vote. Because stats also tell us that people who have been convicted of crimes lean Democrat. So the advantage that Bernie Sanders has found is that he knows these people will vote for him. If he comes to their defense, if he's their advocate, because they're victims in his mind, and he's going to be their advocate and campaign for their defense, then they're going to vote for him. And it doesn't matter that most Americans are repulsed by this idea. They're repelled by it. They can't understand how any sane person would agree to this idea. It doesn't matter to him, because it's a principle thing for him. You can tell when you watch the video, you can tell his conviction. You can see it in his face. These people are downtrodden, and he is there to fight for their rights. These people who have taken the lives of others, who have taken advantage of others in some way, shape, or form, who have schemed and conned people out of their life savings, these people who have committed federal crimes, these felons, not just rapists and murderers and the like, but others who have committed crimes which have deprived people of their retirement, have done these people. He is in their corner. Oh, it's their fundamental right. They shouldn't be deprived of it. Really? These people have deprived people of their life and their livelihood. And depriving them of a number of years living in society by putting them in prison is not enough. It just isn't enough. They have taken so much away from people, including life. These people should never be allowed to participate in the political process again. They have proven, as I've already said, that they are incapable of having rational, sane, reasonable thought. They should never be allowed to participate in the process of crafting law again. And that involves voting for the people who go to represent us to do those things. Bernie and Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton and the rest, they believe these things. And you need to know that. And it grinds against the sanity that supports our society. Now, as far as Kamala Harris goes, if she said she had to think about it, as I've said, it's because she couldn't figure out just yet how it would work either way to her advantage. So that's a conversation we need to have. Yeah, right. But you know what she really thinks? She agrees with Bernie. So do all of the others on the left. These progressives all agree with Sanders. They advocate for everyone who's downtrodden, and in their minds, the people in prison are victims as well. And we shouldn't take away their right to vote. Because, after all, if we protect their right to vote, they'll vote for us. I know that sounds jaded, but sadly it's true. We have the stats to back it up. So, let's not be deceived today. These people are looking out for one person, themselves, and their candidacy. And that's it. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. And I'm glad you're there. Thank you so much for listening, for being there, for signing up for the newsletter, for everything. Hey, share the show with your friends, why don't you? Let them know what you're listening to every day. Spread the love around. I gotta tell you, there's no love lost between Trump and the press today. Yesterday, President Trump was on Twitter like crazy. He was not happy with the press, and he said so. And he went beyond that, actually. He hasn't been happy with his treatment by the news media. And there was a flurry of tweets yesterday. And he also barred members of his staff and administration from attending the White House Correspondents Association dinner coming up Saturday. And you remember how that turned out last year. Yeah, it was a nightmare last year. Now, Trump has already said he wasn't going to attend the dinner. Instead, he scheduled a political rally in Wisconsin. But he hadn't decided whether anyone on the staff could attend, and the decision that no one from his staff could participate was announced to White House staff and other representatives from the administration by White House Cabinet Secretary Bill McGinley at their morning meetings. It set off a scramble because a lot of staffers they'd already accepted invitations. They thought Trump there's no problem. He'll let him go, right? Whoops. A White House official said the president and members of his administration will not attend the White House Correspondents Dinner this year. Instead, Saturday evening, President Trump will travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where he will hold a campaign rally. And Trump, who has denounced the mainstream news media as fake news and routinely directs his supporters to watch the Fox News channel, has not attended the dinner since he became president in January of 2017. He has stopped his press secretary, Sarah Sanders, from conducting daily briefings. The criticism has intensified following the release of a report from the U.S. Special Counsel, Robert Mueller, on Russia's role in the 2016 election. In a morning tweet, he wrote, "In the old days, if you were president and you had a good economy, you were basically immune from criticism. Remember, it's the economy, stupid. Today, I have, as president, perhaps the greatest economy in history. And to the mainstream media, it means nothing. But it will." And the White House Correspondents Association dinner has been attended by presidents most years since the organization was founded in 1914. The group raises money for scholarships and honors the U.S. Constitution's freedom of the press, First Amendment. In recent decades, the group has had a comedian as entertainment, but comedian Michelle Wolf's lampooning last year of White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders, who was seated nearby, drew so much criticism that the association this year is bringing in historian Ron Chernow for remarks. Wow. And I've got a handful of Trump's tweets here. Let me run through them. Paul Krugman of the fake news New York Times has lost all credibility, as has the Times itself, with his false and highly inaccurate writings of me. He's obsessed with hatred, just as others are obsessed with how stupid he is. He said the market would crash. We've only had record highs. And his next one, he said, I wonder if the New York Times will apologize to me a second time, as they did after the 2016 election. But this one will have to be far bigger and a far bigger and better apology. On this one, they'll have to get down on their knees and beg for forgiveness. They are truly the enemy of the people. Next, he says, the radical left Democrats, together with their leaders in the fake news media, have gone totally insane. I guess that means that the Republican agenda is working. Stay tuned for more. Yikes. And then finally, sorry to say, but Fox and Friends is by far the best of the morning political shows on television. It rightfully has by far the highest ratings, not even close. Morning Psycho Joe, who helped get me elected in 2016 by having me on free all the time, has nosedived. He's too angry. And he's right. He's absolutely right. And you may disagree with his move on not allowing the staff to attend the dinner, but I think he's right. Why give them any level of approval or endorsement by having anybody in your administration show up? Why? I think you and I understand the reasoning behind this, and that is that it's hostile territory. These people aren't interested in being fair. They're interested in shooting you down. They're not interested in treating you with respect. They're interested in destroying you and your administration. So why play nice with them? You see, that's the problem that the Republicans have had for so, so long. The Democrats are cutthroat. They smile. They talk nice. They pat you on the back, hug you across your shoulder, and then slip the knife in between your ribs. They're vicious. And Republicans just believe that they can play nice. If we are, if we are a cut above, if we show them how this is done, then people will see. No, that's not how it works. The Democrats, the leftists, the progressives, are experts when it comes to deceit and manipulation. They're experts when it comes to lying to the people. They're experts when it comes to undermining the credibility of their opponents. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. They'll say it in order to achieve their goals. That's what the Russia thing was all about. It didn't matter to them if it was true. And I'll say this, they knew it wasn't. They knew there was some Russian involvement. They knew that Russia was tinkering and that there were some shenanigans going on. There always are in every election. And they knew that the Russians were working against not only Hillary, but against Trump. They were spreading that out. But they were telling people that Trump was involved. And that was the big lie. They knew it was a lie, and they stood by the lie, and they're still standing by the lie. You know what? Even though the Mueller report says, no, Trump and his people, actually, it says bald face. It says right there, they could find no involvement with the Trump campaign or administration, with the Russians and the election. It's just not there. Didn't happen. But there are still those, even though they've been cautioned by the higher ups in the party on that conference call they had the other day, there are still those who are shaking their head and saying, he's got to be impeached. He's dirty. He was involved with the Russians. He's got to be impeached. They're still there. Even though they've been told not to talk about impeachment, they still will. In their inner circles, they will. And some will most likely still say it in public.
Impeach 45!
Yep, Mad Maxine will probably still.
Impeach 45!
Because she gets these huge...
Impeach 45!
The cheers and the applause.
Impeach 45!
She will still say impeach 45. You can almost bet on that. But now this is all shifted. And they're still deceiving. They're still lying. And at the correspondents' dinner, if you're a member of the Trump administration and you go, you're surrounded by a crowd of people who believe that you are guilty of something you're not guilty of. They are predisposed. They've already judged you. They are accepting their talking points from the Democrat Party, and they're not being fair in their reporting. So if you go and join those people to celebrate their First Amendment rights, then you're going to celebrate with a bunch of people who have sharpened knives behind their back and are just looking for an opportunity to use them. So why go? There's no sense in it. None whatsoever. Go do something that's actually productive for the nation during that time, which is what our president's going to be doing. He's going to go, and he's going to talk to a group of people in Wisconsin, and he's going to further his agenda and keep trying to move America forward and make it great again. And sadly, those at the correspondents' dinner will shake their head, cluck their tongues, and they'll make excuses. And they'll talk about how he didn't have the courage to appear before them and never has. And now he's commanding his people like some sort of ruler not to appear as well. Well, they can have their delusion because that's exactly what it is. And you and I will keep moving forward because we know what's true. That's it for today. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.